Bravo!
Deep in the jungles of Ghana is a crossroads by a river called Asin Manso, where for several hundred years, Africans from all over the continent were forced to bathe after being marched barefoot, naked, and in shackles.
So after your last bath, you had your first onsen. After your first onsen, you had your first branding right here in the market. Before you walk another 31 miles.
There's something about the power of the ocean, and I can't help but think about those people who marched 300 or 400 miles from inland, who maybe had never actually been to the coast but would have heard about the beach.
Naya Bates is the public historian of slavery and African-American life at Monticello. She studies the lives of the people our third president, Thomas Jefferson, enslaved. Europeans brought hundreds of thousands of Africans to what would become the United States, and Virginia was ground zero. The country was founded on the exploitation of slavery. And so Bates has come to Ghana, 5,000 miles away, to learn more about its origins.
To hear those waves crash on that shore, and then to be thrown in a dungeon where you can hear it resonating against the wails, against the screaming and the crying and all of the deprivation of these spaces. And then for the last time you see it is the moment they take you out to the ships. Like, that's your last impression of your homeland. I just can't imagine how terrifying that must have been.
The Cape Coast and Elmina castles are massive, multi-level stone fortresses with dozens of rooms. Cape Coast was built by the British to compete with the Portuguese and the Dutch, which had operated Elmina for 2 centuries just 7 miles down the Ghanaian coast. As Europeans invaded the Americas, the castle's cavernous underground rooms transitioned from storing goods and gold for trade to holding Africans in bondage. Kidnapped from homes or captured in tribal wars, at any given time, as many as 1,000 African men, women, and children were held for weeks, sometimes months, in the dark dungeons.
They had everything on the floor, and they were sleeping in it.
Ato Ashan is a tour guide at Elmina Castle.
Meaning that what you see today, sometime past, had fevers, urine, vomit, menstrual blood. And you seriously cannot underestimate the heat and the stench.
It was so bad for so long that recently, when the castles opened to the public for the first time, several feet worth of excrement had to be dug out. Even today, visitors stand not on the original stone floor, but on caked layers of fossilized remains. For enslaved women, the threat of rape was omnipresent. Traders, soldiers, but especially the castle's governor, who would stand on a balcony overlooking the courtyard where women would be brought out from the dungeons.
From there, he just looked through and then made his choice. This woman chosen could have been in the dungeons for a whole month. Never cleaned her feet, never took her bath or bathe, gone through menses sometimes, and still the governor wanted.
Justin Reed is the director of African American programs at the Virginia Humanities, and at one point he found himself standing in the governor's bedroom. Both he and Bates have ancestors who were enslaved in the U.S. and sexually assaulted by white people.
Clearly, Nye and I both have, women ancestors who were violated in that way. So being alone in that space really conjured up those emotions. And then again, at Elmina, we were shown the staircase where enslaved women would have brought into the private quarters of the castle governor, and again violated in the same way. The entire history is horrendous, but I think something about that in particular just really impacted me.
In teaching the history of the transatlantic slave trade, Bates and Reed say many of these details are often ignored, along with the advanced complexity of African societies that existed long before Europeans arrived.
They had different cultures, different belief systems, right. Different practices, different economies.
Very sophisticated. They weren't helpless in all of this.
Right. And they were doing what they had to do not to be colonized. It's important to note that these places were not colonized until 400 years after the slave trade started. So, they did what they had to do to survive.
But when we teach this history in the U.S., when we say things like, the Europeans stole, or the Europeans kidnapped, or the took. When we say those statements, we're unconsciously saying that the Europeans had all the power in this scenario, and that the West Africans were weak, that they were unsophisticated, they were unskilled.
Ashan says they're right. It's much more complicated than most history books let on. Europeans, he explains, created a deadly cycle. They'd help smaller Ghanaian tribes wage wars of independence against larger tribes, creating the need for more weapons, European weapons. But Europeans no longer wanted gold or other native goods in exchange. Instead, they wanted people to force to work the land they were taking in the Americas.
So the more independent state created, the more the need came for them to gather weapons to defend themselves. And the only way to gather weapons were to bring in people. So make it a principle. Divide already divided people and heighten insecurity, and that will fuel the system.
In the U.S., white enslavers tried to control African Americans by eliminating any hope or purpose beyond the plantation. They used physical violence to strip away names, languages, customs. But in Ghana, Bates and Reed say all of these were on full display.
Experiencing that firsthand has changed the way that I think about the people who were taken as captives. This is a culture that has been relatively the same, regardless of modern technology, for a long time. And so these things are things that were stripped from the people that were taken. I feel like somebody robbed me. Like, I always had that sense anyway, but now I really feel like there's something.
This is the way we could move. This is how we could move through the world had we not endured the centuries of oppression and colonization and enslavement.
I've seen here entrepreneurs, people making a way out of no way, and I see that in the States too, but not to the same degree. And I think that's a spirit that was intentionally removed from a lot of Black Americans. So that will change the way that I research people at Monticello. They had a background before they were enslaved by Jefferson.
Now, 200 years later, 5,000 miles across an ocean, that background is finally starting to come into view. I'm Jordy Yeager.